You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. It's been a year and a half since a landslide devastated Haines, and here with me are some of the volunteer responders to give us an update on recovery efforts. So welcome to the show, Brandon Callahan. You're the manager of rebuild operations for Team Rubicon. Hi, Brandon.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. We also have Larissa Murray, also from Team Rubicon, an operations manager who is on the ground in Haines. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Hi, thanks and welcome to the show. And Sylvia Hines, who's a coordinator from the Haines Long-Term Recovery Group. Hi, Sylvia.
Hello.
Hi. Sylvia, I'd actually like to start with you. Who or what is the Haines Long-Term Recovery Group, and how did you get involved with that?
The Haines Long-Term Recovery Group formed in the aftermath of the weather event. So in December 2020, we had 10 inches of rain in 48 hours on top of 10 feet of snow, and it crippled public infrastructure, 12-foot ditches instead of roads. But it also, about 34% of Haines reported damage in the aftermath of individual households. So the Long-Term Recovery Group formed to coordinate individual disaster recovery efforts, working with nonprofits, Southeast Alaska Independent Living and Chilkat Valley Community Foundation, tribal governments, including Chilkoot Indian Association, coordinating those efforts with the faith community and volunteer groups, our government partners, state, federal, and local, and the private sector. So I was hired as through Chilkoot Indian Association to coordinate the Haines Long-Term Recovery Group's efforts.
Wow. How did you get connected with Team Rubicon?
Well, a year ago in August, the Long-Term Recovery Group recognized that disaster debris was, one of my colleagues, she's like, we really can't start rebuilding until we take out the trash. Mm-hmm. And we had the cost and the labor to deal with the construction debris from, we had about 100 landslides in the valley and massive flooding. So to deal with that, we needed help. So I called Team Rubicon and started working with Larissa, and they sent up a operation here in Haines a year ago to help us deal with that construction debris.
Wow. So, Brandon, let's turn to you now. Tell me about Team Rubicon and what are some of the things that you all do?
Yeah, so Team Rubicon is a veteran-led humanitarian organization that served global communities before, during, and after disasters and crises. Our mission is providing relief to those affected by disasters or crises, no matter when or where they strike. So there's multiple facets to the organization there, both domestic and international, and even domestically it splits into a response and recovery effort. So Larissa here with me today works primarily in that response. I work primarily heading up our recovery part. And between those two parts of the organization, we try to reach the communities most affected by disasters around the country.
And I understand Team Rubicon also takes a special interest in communities that communities or events that maybe a little bit lesser known or marginalized or rural don't quite make the headlines necessarily. Is that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Those communities, for whatever reason, that don't make major news cycles, or they're small rural or remote communities, are disproportionately affected by disasters. They have less access to resources. They have less, whether those resources are local, state, federal funding or nonprofit organizations. Like it's a real challenge. So we've made it part of our mission to try and reach those areas.
Oh, that's awesome. And Larissa, how about yourself? Can you tell me a little bit about what you do with Team Rubicon, how you got into that?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, I'm the operations manager for the West Branch in Team Rubicon. So I basically oversee all events and operations that happen from Alaska down the Pacific coast and out to Hawaii. And my coworker, Don Beeson, was actually the first one that fielded this request from Haines. Shortly after he started talking with the Long-Term Recovery Group, he deployed to Haiti. in the aftermath of a natural disaster there. And so I kind of took over that coordination with the long-term recovery group to help get volunteers out there in September of last year to do kind of what we call muck outs, that debris removal. And following that operation, Southeast Alaska Independent Living members had some input as to how we could better communicate with and reach clients in our services. So once we linked them up with our client services team, they then were recommended to our rebuild team because we saw that there might be an area where we could further collaborate with the community to help in their recovery efforts. And that's kind of where Brandon and his team came into the picture and started working with the long-term recovery group.
Gosh, so many different parts and organizations and people coming together to form these connections and to collaborate on the recovery efforts. Sylvia, what is the status of Haines recovery from your perspective?
Recovery is a marathon. It takes years. We had a caseload, total of 141 households that have requested assistance from the long-term recovery group. As of March 2022, this year, we were able to get that down to 50 households. So we've 7% of Haines was still in need of assistance. And we project that in September, so next month, we're looking like we're going to be able to get that number down to about 25 households. And so about a little over 3% of Haines still is in need of assistance. And the remaining cases are very complex cases. People who are still displaced, who have lost their homes, who have lost everything that and especially our most vulnerable populations in Haines take the longest to recover and have the most complex needs. So we're still working closely. Southeast Alaska Independent Living has contributed a huge amount for case management support, and they help distribute some of our funds from Chilkat Valley Community Foundation. The whole process of recovery has really opened my eyes to how important it is to have established regional relationships. Like when disaster strikes, we here in Haines did not have the capacity to be able to handle it on our own. And no one organization, no one individual could. For example, one of the homes that Team Rubicon took on, one of the cases, no one organization could take it on. There's been over 20 organizations that have contributed to that one house to rebuild it and to get that individual back into her home. She's still displaced, but we're almost there. And seeing that collaborative effort in action and seeing the progress that we have made, it's been an honor to be able to be part of it.
Larissa, what would you add to that? How far have you come along as far as like what goals you had for you and your company and what you thought you could do, and how far is there to go still?
Well, for me, Haines kind of came out of nowhere. I didn't start out with any goals other than understanding what their current situation was, what their needs were, and how our organization could help us, or how our organization could help them address those needs. I think after following the operation that we did there last September, most of the people that deployed up there, and even people that didn't, were really touched by the story of Haines. And they're really kind of a guiding light for what we think about when we think of remote and rural communities. So I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned. And also, as our organization builds up its own resilient community strategy, I think Haines, Alaska, is a good example of probably every challenge you could think of to building resilience, you know, whether it's logistics, personnel, et cetera. Everything just seems, you know, that there's fewer of them up here or they're harder to access. And so really taking the time to focus on how we as an organization can build our presence in this area, help communities here build their resilience, but based on what they say their needs are. Obviously, coming from the lower 48, we don't have the best understanding of how remote communities in Alaska operate. So kind of looking for that education, understanding, and helping to build resilience as best we can.
It's great to hear you say that, you know, just like acknowledge that right from the, you know, from the start that like you don't know best, they do, and you're listening to them. Larissa, did you have any connection to Haines or Alaska before you went up there?
I had spent some time in Alaska, but not Southeast Alaska, which is kind of like its own state, its own country. It's really got its own, it's unique in all of the ways. So no, I didn't have a connection prior to working with Sylvia in the Long-Term Recovery Group last August and September, but was immediately drawn to the area. And I came up here to do my research for my doctoral program on Haines, Alaska, using them as a case study to represent kind of the unique resilience of remote communities as it pertains to disaster management, and then also try to highlight some of the challenges that remote communities face in receiving aid following disasters. So I know I'm a newbie here, but I feel very connected and very moved by the community here. So I'm just honored to be here and have the you know, opportunity to build relationships with different people and organizations here.
That's great. I'm sure Haines has been very welcoming. And Brandon, how will Team Rubicon keep helping in Haines? What's the plan?
Well, a lot of our investment for Team Rubicon will come, you know, now that the rebuild's come and done its part in conjunction with all those local partners, we'll be looking to start to work on some of that community resilience that Larissa was just talking about. So she's actually a much better person to answer that question for you.
Mm-hmm. All right, Larissa, go for it.
So, yeah, following the operation that we had last September and then rebuilds efforts here in July and really over the past year. As I mentioned earlier, we have a resilient community strategy where we try to build up local capacity because really disasters start and end locally. Local individuals really have the best understanding of what they need, what the unmet needs are. And so what we're trying to do, and Sylvia is probably, she is the number one driving force of this effort in Southeast Alaska, but, you know, building up a team of volunteer leaders here for, you know, Team Rubicon gray shirts, as we call them, and training them up to be able to respond locally to disasters that would happen in Southeast Alaska, getting training, incident command systems training, and our training and our core capabilities, like we were talking about debris removal, damage assessments, et cetera. And we actually had a week-long training event in Juneau, Alaska, which was the first ever that our organization did in May of this year because of really a strong, driven leaders like Sylvia and Rachel Alford, who's from Fairbanks, who came down to help teach some of those classes. So really our aim is to continue to build that local resilience any way that we can. And then, you know, hopefully as we start to build up some resources and personnel in the area, we can also move on to more service project related events where we can take on smaller rebuild type projects and things of that nature.
All right. Well, I want to thank all three of you for speaking with me today, Sylvia, Brandon, and Larissa. It's nice to get the update on what happened. It was it was a very devastating event. So sounds like the recovery efforts are in good hands, and you're just three people. I know there's dozens, if not hundreds, more working on the recovery efforts there. So I do appreciate this update, and I hope we can keep in touch. Does anyone have anything else they want to share before we say goodbye today? Getting a lot of head shaking. Well, what? Come on, Larissa.
As we're talking about building local resilience, one of the best resources that a person can give and that we appreciate most is their time. So if you have the time and the inclination to volunteer with Team Rubicon, please do sign up. The website is teamrubiconusa.org, and we would love to have you.
Great plug. Thank you so much, everybody, for coming on the show today. It was great to hear from you and to get to meet all of you.
Thanks for having us.
Having us.
Take care.